If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Hello and welcome to the 79th episode of ToonCast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm your host, TFJ Mike, and joining me is Kevin, Professor Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Forgot to delete the professor part out of it.
I was like, man, I got a
lot of it was an old script that I had to modify, so yeah, I forgot to... Anyways, we had a huge issue, scheduling issue, with episode 79. This originally isn't what it was supposed to be, what it's going to be now. And really, honestly, I don't remember the cartoon that we were going to really cover anyways. We'll get to it eventually. But yeah, no, last week in 78, I said that Dungeons & Dragons was going to come up this week. Well, we lied.
Dungeons & Dragons has a curse on it, actually.
Good.
Because we've had it like at well, mainly because of me, but we've had it at like 15 different spots in the schedule.
it's all Kevin's fault, honestly. I mean, really, because originally Dungeons and Dragons was like 50-something, 60-something, and then we kept moving it back, because originally I had episode 7, like one of the original scripts, or one of the original schedules, I had episode 79 as the USA Cartoon Express, and look where that is. That's at 67. Yeah, Dungeons & Dragons was at 67, and that was at 79. They got swapped because Kevin's like, oh, well, I want to watch the entire series.
I have it all on DVD, so I wanted to see it all. And the DVD is packed with special features. Like, it's one of the best DVD sets as far as bonus features go, so I wanted a chance to watch them all, and I just have not got there. And Mike, for some reason, has never seen the Dan cartoon. I think he was living in a rock at some point in the 80s.
I know of Dungeons & Dragons. I know of the whole lore, the game, and everything else, and I know the fan following it has and always had. But for some strange reason, I never saw this cartoon as a kid. And of course, we're not even talking about Dungeons & Dragons today, but... it was just one of those cartoons that I never saw. And then, you know, I'm going to be watching some episodes eventually, but in preparation for it, potential 79 being Dungeons & Dragons, the only thing I could find on YouTube at the time was the stupid-ass intro. I'm like, Oh, old man gets little kid to go on a roller coaster ride and goes into some weird-looking world. And that intro does not do the show justice as far as I'm
concerned. No, it doesn't.
It just doesn't. But, no, we had scheduling conflict because the other co-host I was going to bring on was Michael Wilson from ToyCast and the Beast Unleashed podcast, because he loved it. He loved Dungeons & Dragons. And it was pretty much going to be Michael and Kevin talking the whole time and me just kind of interjecting rude comments throughout.
Yes, like always. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I get a finger you can look at right about now, but... today on ToonCast for episode 79, we are going to be talking about that animated horror Beetlejuice.
Yes, we are.
Don't ask me why I picked this, ladies and gentlemen, as a replacement. It was the only thing I could think of to move scheduling around without having to move, like, entire spotlights and everything else. And
it's worth talking about.
I will completely admit that this is filler. It is so filler.
It's not a horrible choice for filler, though. As far as the topic goes, I'm not saying the cartoon's great. I'm just saying, like, you know, Beetlejuice, you know, there's a movie, there's cartoons, so it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's get into the history lesson for Beetlejuice.
All right, Beetlejuice, the animated series, not to be confused with Beetlejuice the movie, is an American-Canadian animated television series loosely based on the film of the same name. It aired from 1989 to 1991, and then from 91 to 98 in reruns. The television series was produced by Nelvana for the Geffen Film Company, and distribution was handled by Warner Brothers Television. It aired for a total of 4 seasons before it went into reruns, and it had 109 episodes, so it did have quite a few episodes. And we'll get into the voice cast here in a little bit, but did you watch this show at all when you were a kid?
I remember it vaguely, but it wasn't something that I watched all the time. The only reason why I remember it is because I had seen the movie.
Right. We had seen the movie, and my sister was into the cartoon because it kind of came, you know, just within a few years after the movie. And she was into the cartoon, so I kind of saw it when she was watching it, but it was never something that I was, like, necessarily interested in.
Yeah, it wasn't something that I absolutely had to watch.
Right.
It was something where it was like, oh, well, I love the movie because the movie is awesome, and there's a cartoon series of it. And my only complaint now, it really, about this series is, why the hell didn't they get Michael Keaton to voice Beetlejuice?
He was too busy.
I mean, Stephen
Ouellette.
Ouellette, or whatever the hell his name is. This guy, he does a fairly decent copycat of Keaton, but it's still no Michael Keaton.
Yeah. No, I agree. Basically, this is done by the exact same, casting must have been done by the same people that did Cops, same people that did the Raccoons and I believe the Archies.
Yeah.
One of those, because it has almost not the exact same voice cast, but there is like a half a dozen people that are in all of those shows.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm assuming they're all a Canadian-based voice cast.
Yeah.
But we'll get to them a little bit later. But I think it was a decent spinoff of the movie. Like, it does capture some of the stuff. I mean, it's not as good as the movie by any means whatsoever. But, you know, it does take, you know, what the movie was kind of supposed to be about and kind of turns it into a decent, I mean, not a decent cartoon, but it does kind of retell or capture that horror, spooky, gross, like, vibe.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a huge fan of it. Uh-huh. Well, to me, the animation in this, it's almost like the link between, like, the animation style that I love of the 80s and then the crappy animation that I hate that comes later in the 90s. It's kind of like a link between those two. Because it has a little bit of both.
Crappy animation in the 90s. What are you talking about?
Or the 2000s, you know, stuff like Dexter's and all
Hey, watch it.
I'm just saying, like, the Powerpuff Girls, the Dexter's, that type of animation that I absolutely hate.
I didn't see that at all in this.
It seems like it has bits of that mixed in with 80s cool animation.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Just to me.
Yeah, so I guess we can get into the characters and voice actors here. Beetlejuice, obviously the main and title character of the show, Beetlejuice, often addressed just as BJ by Lydia, is able to change shape, transform objects, teleport, and perform other feats of magic, although his powers can be reduced by various circumstances, such as encounters with sandworms, despite the fact that he has enough power to subdue them with ease, or when his head becomes separated from his body. At times, he must pause to think of exactly how to use his powers to escape a precarious situation unscathed. His name derives from the star Betelgeuse, which is on the shoulder of the constellation Orion. Like I said before, it's an animated version of Michael Keaton's character.
Yeah, and it looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good. I think it's a little bit over the top.
Well, yeah. I think they might have been afraid to make it quite as real as the movie,
Yeah.
So making it into a kid's cartoon, they kind of went almost too far to make it, you know, not as scary looking, but I still think it does a pretty... I think the looks of all the characters are pretty accurate as far as making cartoon versions of those people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know, like you said, the guy does a pretty good job at imitating Michael Keaton, and, you know, obviously Beetlejuice is the main character, and the show is either going to be successful or not based on him. And, you know, since it was around for 100 and some episodes, enough people must have been watching it that it was somewhat, you know, somewhat popular. But, you know, I thought he did a decent job of capturing, you know, the essence of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little bit crazy.
It's not just a little bit. It's a lot crazy.
Yeah. And I also think they did a good job with the second character, Lydia. You know, that's exactly what I would have expected her to look like in cartoon form.
Well, I mean, it pretty much takes off the movie directly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah.
For those of you that don't know who Lydia is, she's the goth girl that is Beetlejuice's main compadre, I guess what you can call her. She's in her preteens at the start of the series. So she's the one that kind of hangs around Beetlejuice the whole time and helps him through different problems or whatever happens.
Yeah.
And those are the main two characters. I mean, the rest of the characters are almost, you know, like you said, inconsequential. I mean,
yeah.
Some show up more than others. Obviously, Lydia's parents show up more than, you know, the majority of the other people, but they usually just have little small bits and parts. And
yeah, I mean, this is a cartoon where there is no clear-cut hero or villain. I mean, you have main character, Beetlejuice. You have sidekicker / secondary main character, Lydia. And it's pretty much the two of them, the adventures that they have.
Right.
It's not really so much as Beetlejuice has to fight to save the Netherworld against Glomgol or something like
that. Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's basically just like a random event happens in each episode where he comes across some type of weird monster, creature, something from the Netherworld. And, you know, it's just him and Lydia, basically.
Yeah, and I honestly, I watched like 4 or 5 episodes today. Mm-hmm. I watched the pilot, and I watched a couple other ones, and I don't remember any of these people.
No, I watched episode 2 of the first season, which was one where they were on like a game show type thing, and they were trying to be the grossest, like it was Beetlejuice against this other creature, and they were trying to be the grossest or whatever, but it was so distracting because the announcer, or the not the announcer, but the host for the game show was Len Carlson was doing his voice, and he was using Big Boss's voice like to a T. Like it was the exact Big Boss voice from the show Cops. So it was like, it was kind of distracting. I'm like, why is Big Boss here? But it was a decent episode.
Yeah, let's talk about the actual casting here. Outside of Len Carlson and Tara Strong, oh wow, Tara Strong was in this.
Yeah,
holy crap!
Some of the guest hosts or stars. Well, the Cops people. Just so I can back up what I said before, Elizabeth Hanna was on Cops.
Yeah,
Len Carlson, Paulina Gillis, Ron Rubin, Dan Hennessy, and John Stocker were all on Cops.
Yeah,
and they're all in the show. So.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Stephen Omet except for he was in something DC related. I think it was DC related. He was in he was in X-Men as Archangel Warren Worthington, the 92 X-Men show. That's the only way I've even heard of his name. The rest of them, besides those Cops people, I don't think I recognize any of them.
Holy crap. I love the X-Men cartoon, but I never knew that that was him. Wow, that's...
Oh, I do recognize one other name, or two other names, I'm sorry. I recognize Don Franks, obviously, and Hedley Kay.
Yeah.
So those are the only two names outside the Cops names that I recognize.
Yeah.
And Allison Court does Lydia Dietz. She didn't do anything on Cops, but she was on, I believe, the Archie show or something like that. And then Elizabeth Hanna and Roger Dunn are the parents of Lydia. So other than that, it's all kind of guest roles or maybe a few recurring roles.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, fairly decent voice cast. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they definitely had a lot of work in the 80s.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, say, Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm.
Was that not a good voice cast?
It was a good voice cast, but it was probably a bad script because Clancy Brown sounds like, he doesn't even sound like he's supposed to sound like as far as, you know, actual acting. Right. It just doesn't, you know, when I think Clancy Brown, I think, you know, DCAU Lex Luthor or
right.
you know, something similar to that. And I forget what role. Oh, he plays Raiden in that. That's what
okay.
And well, it's like, it just, Clancy Brown's voice does not lend itself to Raiden whatsoever.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, I would never picture that either. basically, in the 80s, you either had a unknown voice cast, or you had a voice cast that could directly tie itself to Cops, or you had the voice cast that can directly tie itself to, like, Transformers G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Like, those are, like, the three options, basically. This is the Cops one is the Canadian crew that was popular in the 80s. The G.I. Joe Transformers is the American crew that was popular in the 80s. And if you didn't have those two, you probably had a bunch of unknowns.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like a, what, 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. You can always trace it back to either Cops or G.I. Joe.
Wow.
Well, Transformers better than G.I. Joe.
That's scary. But yeah. Getting into the behind the... Or, well, who's your... Obviously, who's your favorite character before we go on here?
I don't mind Lydia.
I actually like her. She's...
I like Beetlejuice better in a movie. I think yeah. I like Lydia better in a cartoon.
Well, the thing about the cartoon, obviously the movie was just... It was one... However long it was, one
right.
film. So we didn't really get a whole lot... to Lydia, and the cartoon, of course, having 109 episodes, we get a lot more of her, and I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think in the cartoon, she kind of balances Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not so in-your-face horror, scaredy, you know, shocking things.
She brings it back to Earth a little.
Yeah, yeah.
So Lydia in the cartoon, Beetlejuice in the movie.
Yeah, there we go. Getting into the behind-the-scenes segment, as far as the series' humor... relied heavily on sight gags, wordplay, and elusiveness. The show was what has been called a bimodal, meaning that it could be viewed on one level by small children and on a completely different and much more sophisticated level by adults, which made it appealing to a wide range of age groups. Many episodes, especially towards the end of the run, were a manifest of parodies of famous films, books, TV shows. The humor was kept clean in that it didn't involve sex, drugs, or alcohol. In one episode set in an old western town, Beetlejuice makes the metafictional remark that the town doesn't have a saloon because of the time slot, also which breaks the fourth wall.
Nice.
Okay. Throughout the series, Beetlejuice would often try to scam residents of the netherworld and sometimes the real world, as Lydia's parents were occasional unwitting victims of his pranks. By the various means, from babysitting, in which he literally sits on a grotesque netherworld babies, to trying to beat them in an auto race. It was also revealed that Beetlejuice is afraid of and vulnerable to one thing above all, sandworms. That was hinted at in a single line of the dialogue in the movie, but it was much expanded on in the series. Sandworms are huge purple and green snake-like creatures with two pairs of eyes, and stegosaurus-like spines on their backs. Beetlejuice also has major aversion to anything nice or worse, sweet, although according to one novelization, Lydia's scream date, he is safe full of bars of orange chocolate.
Love. Yeah. And obviously the humor is what this show is all about. If it's
yeah.
not funny, it's a complete, you know, mess. But, you know, so, I mean, it's got all kinds of crazy gags and whatnot, which can be distracting from the story, but that's what it's supposed to be about anyway. And the series was, as far as like when the series was on and what it was on, it was a breakout hit for ABC in its initial season and later became one of the first animated series actually to air on Fox's weekday afternoon children's lineup, which led to a situation whereby Beetlejuice was being seen Monday through Friday on Fox while still remaining on ABC's Saturday morning schedule, making it one of the few shows in American television history to be aired concurrently on two different broadcast networks. Beetlejuice has aired in reruns on Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, where the movie aired, and will air on Warner Brothers and AOL's Toontopia TV. The series currently airs on Teletoon Retro in Canada.
I can't believe this was an ABC show. I can't believe ABC.
I can believe it was Fox, or I could believe it was Nickelodeon, but not...
Not ABC.
Not ABC, not any of the major networks you wouldn't think of at the time, and Fox was not a major network at that time.
Well...
It was trying to make it at that
89
time.
89 to 91, they were...
They were becoming...
Right, yeah.
And that, like, it was their process, so that's why they were experimenting with all kinds of things and taking risks. But they weren't like an established network like ABC, CBS, or NBC.
And see, that's the thing. This thing started out at ABC, which is an established network, which kind of really surprises me because, I mean, ABC is, I mean, obviously American Broadcasting Company, but they're known for their family stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they're known to not have, I mean, not have stuff like Beetlejuice, for Christ's sake. as far as the opening introduction, there are three different opening introductions. The first one aired on ABC with alternate animation. For example, Beetlejuice is producing strips on his clothes. The second one is used on the Fox Kids WB syndication, which is the current one they use today, and is more popular. It's a favorite. For example, Beetlejuice rises from the grave as a corpse. The third one is used when Fox reran Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm. None of the intros are very good, though.
No, they all suck. And the theme song sucks.
Yeah.
I think this is the only time in Tooncast history that I will actually admit that a theme song really, really sucks, because this one does.
Yeah, it does. I don't recognize any of the directors on this.
I don't either.
The only writers I recognize are Marty Eisenberg and that's
Robert Inskeel. Oh, holy crap!
No, that's not the same one. That's
no,
not
it is.
Guy. I don't think so. It doesn't list him as anything to do with Beast Wars when you look him up on IMDb.
Robert N. Skier, that's Beast Machines, not Beast Wars.
Or Beast Machines. It doesn't come up with him. It comes up as a different person on IMDb.
Well, IMDb is wrong.
I'm just telling you. But I do want to mention the producer of this whole thing, which is Tim Burton. I think Beetlejuice is the only franchise of Tim Burton, or only thing that Tim Burton ever did that I can actually watch. I am not a Tim Burton fan. I freaking hate stuff like The Corpse Bride and The Nightmare Before Christmas or whatever the other one was. Like, I don't know. I don't like Tim Burton at all, but I do. Like, to me, Beetlejuice is his best work. Maybe not the cartoon, but the movie. But just this whole franchise is probably where he should have stopped. Wow. You know, a lot of people like Tim Burton. I am not one of them.
And the reason why the Robert N. Skier on IMDb doesn't list Beast Machines is because under Beast Machines, he's listed as Bob Skier.
See, that's why I was confused if there were two different people or not.
No, because I'm friends with him on Facebook, and it is the guy that wrote Beast Machines.
Do you like Tim Burton?
Huh?
Are you a Tim Burton fan? I just don't like the animation style he does. On those movies.
Yeah, it's funny with Tim Burton because I look at, like, say, Batman 89, and I liked it as a kid.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily like it now. Like if I was going to sit through it, I would probably end up, you know, skipping a few scenes.
Oh, I should say I like Edward Scissorhands too. But
Edward Scissorhands was good.
Edward Scissorhands and Beetlejuice, and then he did Batman right after that, and then it seemed like it just Nightmare Before Christmas, James and the Giant Peach, Mars Attacks. I don't like any of those.
I love Mars Attacks. That's hilarious. Mars Attacks is awesome.
Well, most of the stuff I don't like the stuff he does, like The Corpse Bride, where it's this animated slash.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a little CGI or whatever it is. It's just I don't like that. I'd rather him just do like live action stuff.
Right. Right. See, the thing with me is what I don't like about Tim Burton is it's like he and Johnny Depp are like tied to each other, like you know. Basically knotted at the hip, because almost every film Tim Burton does, no matter what the subject matter is, fucking Johnny Depp is in it.
Edward Scissorhands, Corpse Bride, Ed Wood.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. There's two scary-sounding titles that Tim Burton's got coming up in the next couple of years. One of them is called Frankenweenie, and one of them is called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah.
That says it all right there. When you have titles like Frankenweenie and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, you know you're not all there.
Tim Burton has officially jumped the shark, I think.
Like, that's just bizarre.
Yes.
And I know that's what some people like about him, but for me, it's anybody can be absolutely ridiculous and do stuff that makes no sense. Like, I don't know. He's off his rocker.
Yeah, he is, very much so. Yeah, as far as, like, these other writers and stuff, it's like,
They must not have done a lot of stuff that we watched or something.
Must not have.
I mean, and even stuff that we didn't know, like going through, I mean, this is 79th episode.
Yep.
I mean, we've looked at a lot of lists of writers and directors, and for these not to be even familiar to some of the other lists is kind of like...
I mean, you know, like you said, Bob Skuer and...
Marty Eisenberg.
And Marty Eisenberg, that's it. And the only reason why we know those is because of Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, you know, as far as producer, you know, Tim Burton, but I mean... Other than that, there's nobody on those lists that right. I even remotely recognize.
Which is no offense to them, but...
No, just... no, it isn't. Well, I seriously doubt they're going to listen to this.
but yeah,
we just... don't know them. I'm sure they don't know us. So I seriously doubt they're going to listen to this. Why don't you tell us about some of the differences as far as getting into the actual show between the animated series and the live-action film?
Yeah, basically, I mean, the premise of the animated series is very much different from the film, to the point where one only superficially resembled the other. Basically, in the film, Beetlejuice was the antagonist, who ended up nearly marrying a disgusted Lydia. In the series, they're best friends, and Lydia, something of a social misfit in the living world, frequently visits him in the afterlife during her free time. The Maitlands, the most significant characters in the film, are nowhere to be found in the TV series. And unlike the mind-numbing bureaucracy that is in the movie, the afterlife was converted into the netherworld, which is a bizarre and humorous parody of the living world. And the fact it is being the afterlife only rarely mentioned, and the living world was referred to once or twice as the outer world. So the whole netherworld slash afterlife was completely different in the two things.
Yeah.
Also in the series, the title character is spelled how we would spell it, Beetlejuice, whereas in the film it's spelled like the constellation was spelled. I didn't realize that either.
See, the thing is, I have the DVD, and on the DVD, the title of the movie and the title of the cartoon series is Beetlejuice.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's not the constellation spelling at all.
Right, and the town where the Dietzes live is different, and they both have different names in the film and in the series. One's called Peaceful Pines, the other's called Winter River. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of, like, little differences. Adam and Barbara... Maitland, like we said, you know, they're not in the series, so there's just certain big differences between the film and the series for sure.
Yeah, and really only Beetlejuice's use of two of his lines from the film, so often they become catchphrases. One is, "It's showtime," and often yelled triumphantly. The other is, "Save that guy for later." In the film, referring to a piece of felgum, he hawked into his jacket pocket, and series usually a bug. Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Yeah, as far as episode formula, the episodes generally centered around the ghostly con man Beetlejuice, his best and only true friend Lydia, and their adventures together in both the netherworld and the real world, a fictional New England town called Peaceful Pines. Winter River in the film, as you said. Beetlejuice's core character, that of a ghostly con artist, reminisced fundamentally on the same as in the original movie, but was considerably softened from maliciousness to pranksterism.
Nor in the series did he display the rampant lechery he did in the film. So he wasn't as touchy-feely as he was in the film.
Yeah, although he's been seen ogling particularly gorgeous ghouls from time to time.
Yeah.
Lydia's character is portrayed as an upbeat goth girl who likes quote-unquote weird stuff, from spiders to sloppy horror movies. As in the film, Lydia could summon Beetlejuice out of the netherworld or go there herself by calling his name three times. Sometimes as part of a set chant, which that's the longer incantation of it. Obviously, it's just easy to say his name. It's just easier to say his name three times.
Right, right. So, you know, basically, it's like we said. The formula for the episode is they meet up and they do some type of prank character go through some type of event in the Netherworld.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gist of it. You've seen, well, even though each episode is different, you know, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Getting into the music segment, I didn't actually grab who did the music for this. I know Danny Elfman might have.
Yeah.
I think
that's who I saw listed.
Part of it, yeah. I think he was part of it along with Tim Burton. But like we said, this is easily the out of the 99 cartoons we're going to talk about on this show. This is easily the worst theme out of all of them.
It's close. If it's not worse, it's in the worst. I'd have to look at every single one, but it's probably the worst.
It is the worst.
It's definitely in the worst of them.
Yes, very much so. moving into the legacy segment, there's no way IMDb, or not IMDb, there's no way IGN is touching this cartoon.
Although I'm surprised. This is probably something that they probably like over there. There's been a lot of merchandise, though, for the Beetlejuice stuff. You know, trading cards, sticker albums, jigsaw puzzles, books, coloring books, lunchboxes, thermos sets. It was big at the time. Like I said, my sister was probably the right age for it, and she was big time into it.
Right.
At least for a little while. Even some little PVC figures from Burger King. and Kenner, the company behind the Beetlejuice movie action figures, had begun developing figures for the animated series, but the project did not end up going through. At least one prototype for that ill-fated collection has been showcased online, though. So I guess if you're a diehard fan, you could pay a ton of money for it, maybe.
Yeah.
And
yeah, as far as the home video release, Warner Brothers released most of the first season of the show on 6 video cassettes by December 21st, 1993. On September 16th, 2008, 3 episodes, Aha, Skeletons in the Closet, and Spooky Boutique, were released, serving as bonus features on the Beetlejuice 20th Anniversary Deluxe Edition DVD. As of 2009, this is the only DVD release of the series, and no plans for a full DVD release of the series have yet been announced. You know, somehow, I'm not surprised, and I'm actually kind of glad.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would think any show that has had over 100 episodes would be popular enough to have a DVD release, but the thing is, Beetlejuice was, it had a certain window in time where it was popular. And to me, it's basically something that has basically died. I mean, most of these shows that have, like, you know, 90, 100, 150 episodes have a cult following of some sorts, like, you know, like Transformers, G.I. Joe, which are obviously close to 100, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even some of, like, the Muppet, you know, stuff like that had a lot of episodes that kind of has a cult following, but... To me, Beetlejuice basically had a certain so many years that it was going to be popular, and then since then it has died.
Yeah.
To me, there's no cult following for Beetlejuice that I've ever heard of.
And I have to fully admit that when replacing Dungeons & Dragons with this, I fully admit I didn't even think to look at the damn DVD because I have the movie. 3 hilarious episodes from the animated Beetlejuice TV series. I didn't even think to do that.
You fool.
Well, I didn't know they were on here. I got the movie for the movie. I didn't get it for
Yeah. There is more of a cult following, I think, for the movie.
Oh yeah.
You know, obviously, yeah. But the series, it's like it just hasn't lived.
Oh, yeah.
It died. It died a bad death a long time ago.
Yes. Very much so.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to see it on DVD, but...
No.
Who knows?
Yeah. I doubt it. So, we're going to go to some clips, and we'll be back after this.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages!
Did you know that Justin Bieber's actually Webster in a girl suit? Did you know that Teddy Ruxpin's friend Grubby... actually a tapeworm.
Did you know that Gargamel was really a cat lady?
Did you know that Billy Zane is the only man to ever beat Chuck Norris?
If you didn't know any of these things, then you should be currently listening to Chicken Pop Pod Retro Comedy Podcast. Catch it at chickenpoppod.com.
Bi-weekly by the folks over at GeekCastRadio.com. because it's the world's first Beast Wars and Beast Machines review podcast. If you don't listen to it, I will send my vehicles to remove your sparks and destroy you. So, from now on, you will listen and tune into the Beast Unleashed, or else. Excellent.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Tooncast coming this week.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
Now back to Tooncast.
So, final thoughts on Beetlejuice.
Oh, Jesus. No, I mean, I think it was, I think the reasoning or the idea to have a Beetlejuice cartoon was justified, you know, based on the popularity of the movie. It was worth a shot. Plus, it seems like it would have been something content-wise and with the character and the premise that it would have lent itself well to be a cartoon. Because right. Obviously you can do a lot of stuff easier on a cartoon than you can in live action.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it lasted for 100 and some episodes. But to me, I watched it a little bit as a youngster. I don't have any desire to watch it again. It wasn't something that I was super interested in back then. And to me, even though it's still, it's not like, it's not dated too much, except for when they get into parodying the different TV shows and books and movies of the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just something that for me, it's not on my list of things to watch or to try to buy if it would ever come out on DVD.
Yeah. I, since we're kind of, you know, we're talking about the animated series, but we've also mentioned the movie a few times. I think one of the reasons why Lydia's cartoon version was, had a red smock looking thing over herself or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Was because, at least looking at the DVD cover of the film, she has a red dress on.
Okay.
So maybe that was a way for them to incorporate that. The other thing that really surprises me, because recently, and this is completely having nothing to do with Beetlejuice, but recently I bought Toy Story 3 on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized something. Michael Keaton went from Beetlejuice to Batman to a girl's toy.
That's true.
He is Ken in Toy Story 3. And I just didn't like, I had seen all the Toy Story 3 stuff, like all the, you know, features and whatever else as far as them talking, like, cuz Toy Story 3 and Disney Pixar and all that stuff, they have YouTube channels, so they would show like little excerpts from it. And I didn't even tie in that Michael Keaton was playing Ken and Jodie Benson was playing Barbie, which Jodie Benson obviously was the voice of Ariel from Little Mermaid. And when I bought the movie on iTunes this past week and I watched it through and I'm like, oh, holy crap.
Yeah, that's kind
Batman,
of
awesome. Batman and Beetlejuice are Ken. Holy crap.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, very, very bizarre. We have anything else we want to talk about really quick before I close this?
No. I can't think of anything. Beetlejuice has drained my brain cells.
Wow. Be sure to check out geekcastradio.com. Well, obviously it'll be this past Monday, but Monday the 8th. Technically the show's already launched, but Kevin launched his telecast podcast with us.
Yes. So go watch go listen to the first episode and give me feedback. Listen to the first episode and give me feedback, damn it. Do it now.
Yes. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast. As always, to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode posts. Cool. And, you know, as far as commenting goes, make sure it's, you know...
Not liking my comments?
Yeah, really. Ain't that the truth.
Plus, you should go there just to hear me and Mike go back and forth against each other.
Yeah. Hater rules. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and Tooncast, all one word, minus TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Boss K Dog.
Become a fan on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time when Flava Dave and Duvall from the Pop Culture Network will join me to talk about The Simpsons.
Ooh.
Everybody send hate mail to Kevin now. For now, I am TFGO and Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.